Okay, for those of you with the Bible study, we're on page 119. So it's kind of the second part of Paul's study, and it's entitled Walking in the Will of God. And I'm going to kind of jump around a little bit tonight, and we're going to look at the scriptures that were in day five. So just to give you a heads up on that, that's kind of what we're going to mainly focus on, but I just want to read a couple of sentences here on page 119, because this is important, because Paul's life to me is always an encouragement, because it shows me what it looks like when someone is perfectly surrendered to the Lord and how the Lord can work through a life that is surrendered to him. And it all happened really right there on the road to Damascus when God intervened in his life, knocked him off his horse to the ground, and that light shone, and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And then the words that he said really, to me, showed where his heart was at that moment. He said, "What do you want me to do?" And I think that was his testimony the rest of his life. If the Lord wills, what do you want me to do, Lord? And to me, that is a picture of really what should happen when we are saved, or when we come to salvation, when we embrace the gospel into our lives. That should be the initial reaction that we have. I mean, that's what it means to be baptized into his death and raised up in his life. It means my life ended. It means it's no longer my will. It's no longer about my desires, what I want, my plan. It's Romans 12, right? Verses 1 and 2, where Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world." In other words, don't think like the world. Okay? Don't live your life according to the principles and philosophies of the world, which is basically, it's all about you. And it's about you making your mark in the world. It's a total opposite thinking. So don't do that. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what God does through the power of the Holy Spirit and through his word, as we receive it in meekness, and as we apply it in our lives, as we meditate on it, it changes the way we think. It renews our mind. So that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this is important, because God wants to work out his plan through people, through you, through me, through his body. He can't do that if we're not surrendered. He can't do that if we haven't given our lives up as a living sacrifice. I just finished a book called Following God by David Platt. I would highly recommend reading it. But he talks about in there, he made one statement, and he said, we need to come every day to God with a blank check. And that blank check basically represents our life. And we need to just let God fill it out and determine what we're going to give for that day. I kind of like that. It kind of stuck with me, that my life basically is a blank check in God's hands. And that's how we need to think of it, kind of. That's what it means for my life to be a living sacrifice. Everything I have, everything I am, is in God's hand. It's like a blank check, and he can write, he can do whatever he wants with it. That's basically what happened to Paul. So I'm going to read here on page 119. It says, the Apostle Paul is probably one of the best known Christians of the first century. He was a man whose heart was captivated by his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, for Paul, Christ was his very life. Christ was his very life. He said, "For me to live is Christ." Now again, that's a picture of I've died, and now I live according to Christ, or I live in resurrection life, in his life. For me to live is Christ. He wrote that to the believers at Philippi in Philippians 1:22. And then he says, a little further down, he uses the phrase that he often used to describe himself. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God." So whatever you are is by the will of God. If you're surrendered to the Lord, you are what you are by the will of God. That should be our testimony. We should be able to say, you know, "I'm Jeff Colon. I'm a pastor and I'm a counselor at Lighthouse Biblical Counseling Center by the will of God." I should be able to say that, knowing, understanding that I am doing what God has called me to do. And I feel I can say that because 26 years ago, I guess you can say I had my road to Damascus experience, encounter. I like encounter better because experience gives a sense that I got to have this experience. But really, it was a three-month process of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working in my heart. I'm sure God was already working in Paul. Remember, he watched Stephen getting stoned. He watched Stephen's face shone like an angel praying, "Don't lay this charge against them." You can't tell me that didn't affect Paul, watching someone get stoned and hearing them pray basically what Jesus said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." So God had to be working in him, and that's what he does. He works, and then we have that encounter where that the light, I guess you can say, like it hit Paul that day, burst forth in our hearts, and our understanding is opened up to the gospel. And we see our need for Christ. Now, if that happens, and we understand, you know, like Paul at that moment, what was that like for him? You know what I'm saying? When he realized what he was doing, that he was actually living his life against God. He was an enemy of God. And he comes into the understanding that he's actually persecuting Jesus, the Son of God. And he repents and does an answer. And the only thing he knows to do is, "What do you want me to do?" And that's kind of what God made real to me when I finally, that light, the light of the cross, finally pierced my heart. I knew I was forgiven. I knew he loved me. But I also understood my life was over. And it was basically, at that moment, I said, "God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it." Now, for me, it meant certain things, and it means different things for all of us. We're not all called to the same thing, but we all are called to live in the will of God. All of us. For me, it was to leave my job in New York, to sell my house, to walk away from everything that in my old life I looked to, I trusted in, I felt I had control of. That's what it was for me. That's what God asked me to walk away from. And it was to come and serve and give my life at a ministry. But really, it could have been anywhere. So we don't have to get all hung up on, you know, a certain place or whatever. It's more of a heart issue. If your heart is surrendered, God will work out his plan in your life. So don't worry about getting all hung up on specific things. He'll show you in time. The main thing is, are you surrendered? And that's what happened to Paul. He was surrendered. And it says a little further down, he desired to walk in the will of God all day, every day, knowing that God had a purpose for him. God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for me. It's not to go on living our life for ourselves, for our own desires, our own plans, our own goals, whatever that might be. God has a goal. God has a plan. And really, as believers, as disciples, really his will is for us to make disciples. That is God's will for our lives, to go into all the world, however that looks like. Doesn't mean we all go to Africa or here or there. Some might. But basically, we are called to share the gospel. We are called to preach the good news, whatever that looks like for each one. We are called to give our lives as a living sacrifice to glorify God in the earth. And like I said, that works out differently for different people. But that's God's goal. He wants us to be a light shining on a hill to all those in darkness. That's what Paul's life was. Now, our problem a lot of time is we want to figure out God's will. And sometimes when his will doesn't look like we feel it should look like, we think, well, this can't be God. Because if I'm in God's will, everything should go perfect and work out good. But is that what we saw in the study? What did God's will look like in Paul's life? A lot of the time. A lot of suffering, prison, delays, detours. But what do we see in day one and day two? How did God use all that? What did we see in day one? Remember where Paul was facing opposition and the people were hardened, they spoke evil of the way, and it caused Paul to leave them, but yet it opened the door for all in Asia to hear the gospel. So what we might see is, man, you know, God, I'm in your will. These people aren't listening. They're hardened in their heart. It caused Paul to go where God really wanted him. And then it says for 2 years, he preached the gospel. Isn't that awesome? What if he would have said, man, this ain't working. I guess I ain't got it. People ain't listening to me. I might as well forget this preaching, sharing the gospel thing. No, he just was led by the Holy Spirit, and he stayed there, and it says he taught in the school of Tyrannus for 2 years, and all Asia heard the word of God. Wow. Wow. That's awesome. Then in day two, we see there's adventure when we are living in God's will. Paul had a lot of adventures, some dangerous, some exciting. But really, all the paths that God takes us on are opportunities and they're designed to provide a witness to other people. So what did we see in day two? Page 124 in Acts 20, verse 17, what do we see or discover about Paul's understanding of God's will? What did he compare it to? A race, right? He saw his life like a course that was laid out by God. You think of a course, I guess like my motorcycle test I had to take, there was a course I had to follow to pass the test. There were cones. I had to go around certain cones. I had to stop and do certain things. There was a course laid out for me that I had to follow. Well, the will of God is kind of like that. God literally lays out a course for your life. And it's like running a race, and he wants you to run your individual race. The gospel and the grace of God, it says, was at the heart of the will of God for Paul. Then it says further down, Paul was praying for the will of God in his life, and he asked others to pray. So then it asks the question, does God use dangers and detours in fulfilling his will? So Paul prayed so he can know the course, but he also asked others to pray. That's important because God isn't looking for lone rangers. I want input. I want people praying for me. Because I understand there's going to be obstacles. I understand there's going to be difficulties. I need prayer. I want to know I have a prayer covering. People praying for me, because that's going to help me run my course. And that's why it's so important that we need to be praying for one another. And we should, as a body, be encouraging one another and praying for one another and talking about our race and what God's doing in our life and how he's been leading us and guiding us and the different adventures. You ever have people they share with you maybe how God used them one day, and it's an adventure being in God's will. That's what it was like for Paul. Even though there was dangers and even though there was he got sidetracked and all that, it was kind of an adventure, and he ran his race with all of his heart. But he did it with prayer, and he did it with the prayer covering. So that's important for all of us to be praying. And then in day three, we see God's will is basically all about right relationships. It says, walking in the will of God is more than a location or a destination. It's kind of what I said earlier. It's a righteous walk in primarily two relationships, our relationship with God and our relationship with men. So let's look at Acts 23, verses 12 through 35, where basically it asks you to summarize this part of Paul's journey. So what happened here? Anybody have their study? What things stood out? What were the main events of Paul's journey? There was a plot, right?
Basically, promise not to eat anything or drink anything.
They found out there was some guys that basically said, we're not going to eat or drink anything until we kill Paul. Right, right. And then the Roman commander was made aware of it, right? But what did that cause to happen?
The favor was what stood out to me, because they pretty much escorted him to, I think, Rome, but it was on the way there.
Right, so it steered him in God's direction for his life, right? What else? Where did he get sent to? And who? Yeah. Felix. So he's able to share now with a governor, Felix, right? All right, and then what connections do you see between God's will worked out in Acts 23 and God's promise from the night before? What connections do you see? Do you have your study? Who has your study? Did you write it in there? Right. And, you know, I put, basically, if it's God's will, nothing is going to stop that from coming to pass. And that's the connection I see. Nothing's going to stop. So, how do right relationships fit into that? Mm-hmm. What about the main relationship? If I'm in a right relationship with God, nothing's going to stop his will going forth in my life. And then he's going to give me other relationships that will help his will to come forth. We all usually are. But the key here is there's two relationships that really help us walk in God's will. Our relationship with God and our relationship with men. And that's what this story is showing us. Because Paul was walking in a righteous relationship with God, nothing was going to stop God's will from going forth in his life. And then God used his relationships with men to bring about what he wanted. So the first one's got to be right first. Our relationship with God has to be right first, and then God will... I'm going to give you an example of this. Okay, it just popped in my head. When I was praying, Rose and I were praying about Lighthouse, and it hadn't even happened yet. I basically got a vision 2 years before we even left Pure Life, for like a year and a half. God was giving me a vision for a counseling center in town and a church or whatever. But I was like, how in the world is this going to happen? There's just no way or whatever. And I felt like God told me, just shut up the vision, put it in a file, and let it die. And that's what I did. Well, during that time, and I just focused on walking with God. I focused on being in a right relationship. Well, during that time, I met a guy, another pastor at an Assemblies of God fellowship thing they were having. It was a Puerto Rican guy from New York. We hit it off and developed a relationship. And that relationship was God ordained, because about a year later, year and a half, when all this started happening, and it happened really fast, and all of a sudden I had someone that was wanting to donate money, and I had no 401c3. And that usually takes 6 months to a year to get. Well, this guy I met worked for the IRS, and he was... worked in the department that approved 501c3s. And he did it for nothing. Usually you gotta get a lawyer, it's a couple of $1,000s. He did the whole thing with me in one day. We submitted it. I got it back in like 4 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks. He couldn't believe how fast I got, because he told me, I can't make this go fast or whatever. I mean, I can help you with it, but that's all I can do. But he knew what to answer, what not to say, whatever. But you see how God used that relationship. And I could tell you so many stories how God did that. But we got to make sure we're walking with God first. And if we will, his plan will go forth, but he'll also bring people, he'll bring relationships. I see him doing that here. He's bringing people into this body. You know, we're developing relationships. God's going to use all of this. We don't even understand what that looks like yet, but God wants to transform this town. He wants to transform this area. Well, he's going to do it, you know, as we walk with him, but then also relationships and different connections, and it'll cause things to go this way and that way or whatever. So it's exciting to me. Isn't it? All right. All right, and then day four, again, this talks about detours and delays and seeing them in God's way. But I want to get to day five, because I want to go through these scriptures with you. Let's go to page 131. I just want to go through these five aspects of following God. Number one, we talked about this. Is basically talking about surrender. It says Paul definitely wanted to do the will of God. So let me ask you a question. Do you want to do the will of God? You don't sound too... Yes. Let me see hands. Do you want to do the will of God? All right, good. All right. That, I thought it was awesome Sunday. I think almost everyone stood It's just encouraging to me because it's like people saying, yeah, I want to. God sees that. Well, Paul definitely wanted to do the will of God. He was surrendered to the Lord and his will. He read the scriptures and obeyed what he knew to do. So that's key, okay? If you want to do God's will, if you want to live in God's will, you have to be obedient to his word, okay? That's one thing I've learned over the years. If I'm not obedient to the word, how am I going to walk in God's will? Plus, if I'm not obedient in the word, I can't be in a right relationship with him, right? So that's important. Number two, the dangers and conflicts that Paul faced were used by God to direct Paul in his will, and we saw that. I mean, there's so many stories. The shipwreck, right? He gets shipwrecked. He winds up on Malta. Almost the whole island gets saved. You know, just, it's amazing. So the detours were actually God's well-chosen paths to get the message out. So don't worry about detours. Don't worry about when things look like, God, what's going on? I mean, we're supposed to be going this way. That's where we got to be careful, because we might miss what God is doing. We might get all, Paul could have got all caught up on, I got to get to Rome, man. We got to do something, cut down trees, build a boat, whatever. But he just, no, okay, God, I guess we're going to be here for a while. Obviously, you got something here for me to do. And, you know, then he builds a fire and gets bit by a viper. See, our mentality would be, uh-oh, I must be out of God's will. I got shipwrecked, now I get bit by a viper. No, he was right in the center of God's will. And God used it all, right? The people saw him get bit by the viper, and they were waiting for him to die. And when he didn't die, it was an open door for him to share with them. They thought he was, you know, some god or something, because he didn't die from the snake bite. So God, again, uses all that. Number three, I think I read three instead of two. Yeah, two is the dangers and conflicts that Paul faced were used by God to direct Paul in his will. So he used those things to guide him as well. Okay. Then number four, the delays were part of God's wise timing in getting the message to more people, because they opened added doors of opportunity for him to speak that message. We saw that, I think, in day two. And then number five, the difficult and dark circumstances were actually God's opportunities to more clearly reveal the light, the truth about who God is and what he has done to bring grace and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Paul's life, the Lord gave the opportunity for many to place their faith in Christ and to begin their walk with him. In the difficult and dark circumstances, God made sure the light of truth shone brightly. So I just want to read this little sentence here, because this is important. It's kind of midway down that next paragraph. It says, God gives enough light to take the next step in following him. Paul made it clear that the foundation for a clear knowledge of the will of God is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So there's that important factor again. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. What does that mean when we say that? Relationship. What does that mean? If I'm in a relationship with someone, what does that look like? I communicate with them every day. I talk to them. I spend time with them. I find out what they like, what they don't like. We communicate, right? And I could put it this way. We walk together in the way, right? And we share fellowship with one another. That's what God wants with us. When you do that, I have people all the time. And I've done the same thing. You know, what's God's will for my life? And we want to get way ahead and all that. And what God has helped me with, he'll give us things like he gave me that vision. But I didn't know when that would be or how that would happen. And that's why I knew, just put it away if it's God, it'll happen, but just focus on what God's called you to do today, and he'll order your steps. So he didn't show me how that would happen. He didn't lay it out for me and, okay, next month I want you to do this. I had no clue, and I didn't even wasn't sure it was from him. So I just put it away. And each day, I can look back now. It's amazing. All the people I met that year, all the things that happened. It's amazing when you look back and you see God's hand and how he was directing. And you met this person here and this happened there. And it just happened. I didn't even couldn't see it then. It was just enough light to go on the next step. And then the next thing you know, I remember standing in the counseling center. I said, how did this happen? How did this happen? I don't know. I was just following God. We're just following God. You guys are all a part of it now. It's exciting. Paul made it clear that the foundation for a clear knowledge of God's will is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Upon that foundation, we could build a greater knowledge of his will. And then he wrote this to the Colossian believers. He says, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So now these scriptures I want to look at help us discern with the Word of God what it looks like to live your life in the will of God, or what we should do according to Scripture so that we'll walk in the will of God, okay? So it starts with Romans 12, 1 and 2. So I'm going to ask you guys, I have the scriptures here, but why don't you guys, someone read that. I read that one already. Romans 12, 1 and 2. The next one's going to be Colossians 1, 9 through 12. So if you want to get ahead of us, that'd probably be good. Romans 12, 1 and 2. What does that say? Okay, so according to those verses, what is the will of God? Huh? Don't be conformed to the world. What else? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. What is not the will of God? Conform to the world's pattern and what? Not give your life. Right? Okay? You getting it now? All right, Colossians 1, 9 through 12. The next one will be 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 8. So according to those verses, what is the will of God? What else? There's a lot in there. Seeking spiritual wisdom and understanding. What else? Growing in our knowledge of him. Right? What else? Being fruitful in everything. What else? Giving thanks. What's not the will of God? Complaining, good. Not being grateful, what else? Not increasing in the knowledge of God. What else? Okay, so you see, this is the stuff we need. If you're concerned about the will of God, this will help you. Because this is what will bring you into a right relationship with God. If you're seeking to develop these qualities in your life, you can until you know what they are, right? And that's why, guys, the Word of God is so important to be in every day. These are the kinds of scriptures we should be meditating on over and over and just get it into you. And I'm telling you, when you're out there in the day, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals truth. He guides us. He leads us. He convicts us. So if the Word of God, if you're putting the Word of God in you, if you're meditating on it, God is going to lead and guide you during the day. He's going to use that to open up your understanding. He's going to reveal himself to you, and he's going to begin to reveal his will to you. All right, so this is important. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4:1-8. All right, so there's a lot in there, but really a large part of the second part is almost, you can sum it up in one thing, but in all these verses, what is the will of God for you? To be holy, to be sanctified, which means what? What does sanctify mean? Set apart. What that's a picture of is in the Old Testament, when the implements or instruments, things used in the temple, were sanctified. They were made holy. They were cleansed for use in the temple. Well, it's the same for us. God wants to use our lives, but we have to know how to allow God to sanctify us, to set us apart. And we have to desire to live a holy life, because it says we should know how to possess our own vessel in sanctification and honor. It's basically saying we need to avoid things that are going to defile our temple. And the biggest one, obviously, is sexual immorality, which it talks about there. But really, we can defile ourselves in many different ways. But obviously, this is majoring on that. So really, we need to know how to possess our vessels and to allow God to sanctify us. So what would not be the will of God? Yeah. In however way. And how about to not let God sanctify us? We have to place ourselves in God's hands to allow him to do that. Because it's the Holy Spirit that does that in our lives. But we do have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. I used to tell guys this all the time, that God can keep you if you're submitted to him, if you're surrendered to him. And that's really, you know, we can't make ourselves holy, but we do when we submit to God and we place ourselves on his wheel and we allow the potter to form our vessel so he can make us into a vessel of honor. But it's his work. You understand that. But we have to give ourselves to that. We have to allow God to possess our vessels. Okay? So it's important. Sanctification is really cooperating with the Holy Spirit and allowing God to change us. Then 1 Thessalonians 5:17-21.
will of God is right. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise past. Test all things, hold fast to one thing.
Okay, so what is the will of God? Pray. When? Without ceasing. All right? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. It's pretty clear, right? All right. Don't quench the Spirit. How do we quench the Spirit? When we resist Him. So don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. How could we despise prophecies? Norm, you could probably help us with that one. Right. That's a perfect answer. So how could you walk in the will of God if you don't do that? Right? There's people that do that. We see it in counseling all the time. People despise the word of God and what God is saying to them. They get mad at you, but really it's God they're saying no. They despise it. It's a frightening thing to see, really, because you know they're basically going against God's will, and that's not good. And then test all things and hold fast to what is good. In other words, we need to study ourselves to be approved. We need to be Bereans, and we need to make sure we're discerning and we're holding to that which we know is right and good. Holding fast to the Word of God, okay? Huh? They were people that were always making sure that what Paul was saying was right. You know, did it line up with Scripture? That's where you get the be a Berean. And that's... any pastor should be able to say that to his congregation. You better make sure what I'm teaching you and telling you is be a Berean. Make sure that's what the Word of God says. That's the problem with, I hate to say it, most Christians in America are Bible illiterate, and they listen to radio preachers, they listen to TV preachers, or they might go somewhere where they're not preaching the Word the way they should be, but they're not testing it. They're not, you know, discerning whether or not it's right, it's good. And so they're led astray. They can't walk in God's will. They're being actually led astray by someone that's not speaking for God. They're not testing, they're not discerning. It's so important. We all need discernment. You need to be able to, when you hear something, say, that's not right. That's not what the Word of God says. And then you reject that. That's okay to reject. And then hold fast to what you know is right. More than anything, in this day we're living, we need to hold fast to what is good, because it's hard nowadays to find that. So that's an important one. All right, and then Ephesians 5, verse 17 through 21. All right, so we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. How do we do that? Huh? That's too mystical. Yes, we need to be led by the Spirit, But how do you know you're being led by the Spirit? I'll give you an example. Let's say someone gives a word, all right? They're led by the Spirit. They speak out a word. How do I test that?
God's word, you gotta go back to the Bible.
Okay. Right. You gotta have scripture with it. That's where you get off. You know, how many times I hear people, oh, well, God told me. Yeah, but that's contrary to what he says in his word, so I don't think it was God that told you that. Now, if he told you something that obviously lines up with scripture, then okay, maybe he probably spoke to you then. Okay, so we always gotta make sure it's lining up with the word of God. Okay? Right. You have some people, they have a lot of word, but they have no spirit. They don't know how to be led. It's all up here. You know, they can teach, but there's no Holy Spirit. But then you have other people who have the Holy Spirit or claim to have the Holy Spirit, but they have very little word, and they're all over the place. They actually get wacky. You know, you got to have both. You got to have both. Paul talked about that a lot. You got to have both. But, you know, it's so important to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to emphasize that. Because without the Spirit, the law kills. It doesn't give life. So understand what the will of the Lord is. And then it says, don't be drunk with wine. It's anticipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So there it is, right? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And then speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks. There it is again. And then here's a key one, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's huge. Because that is something in this generation that more than ever, I mean, it's always been there, obviously, but it just seems more prevalent now. People don't want to submit to one another. They want to do what they want to do. And they don't want to submit to one another, but that is part of being in the will of God, submitting to one another in the fear of God. It's important. Okay, and then 1 Peter 2, second to last one, verse 13 through 17.
Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor
everyone. Wow. So it's God's will that we obey authority. Right? And then honor all people. Doesn't say some people, just ones. Honor all people. In other words, give respect. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. All right, and then lastly, 1 Peter 3, verse 13. I think I got that right. Yeah. 1 Peter 3, 13 through 17, same verses. Just next chapter.
Do not be afraid of those who ask for the Lord. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, with everyone who asks for the hope of the Lord. Having a good conscience. Those who
good message in those verses. So what is the will of God in these verses? Yep, that's God's will, that we should always be ready to share the hope that is within us with whoever. Okay, what else? Yeah, if it's the will of God to suffer for doing good, I mean, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So it's God's will, many times, to suffer. And that's good. And we have to embrace that and understand that if this is God's will, this is good. And I accept this. Because it's better, right, than for doing evil. Because we're going to suffer too for doing evil, but it's better to suffer for doing good. So you're going to suffer either way. You might as well suffer for doing good for God. So I'll just finish with this tonight, guys. Have you given yourself as a living sacrifice? Or is this something you keep taking back from the altar? Is your life, as you know it, laying on that altar, is your life a blank check for God? Or do you feel like, no, this is mine, that's mine, you can have this, God, but that's what I used to do. I used to kind of give God what I wanted to, but there were certain things, that's mine. Our lives need to be a blank check. That's the beginning, okay? If you want God's will to go forth in your life, it starts there, a blank check, okay? And then, if there's detours in your life right now, if you feel like, you know, God, what's going on? You know, I thought I should be here by now, whatever. Be patient. Be patient and just trust that God is leading you. I think about you and what's going on, and we don't know what's going to happen yet, but God kind of threw a monkey wrench in Gary's plans, and it looked like, God, what's going on? But then when he's driving back, the day he's coming back, a person calls him with the same thing, and now it might be looking like it's happening, but it wasn't God's time yet. And I'm not saying it's God's will, but those things happen and it's okay. You know, so if you got detours or delays in your life right now, God wants you to trust him. He wants you to know that your times, your life are in his hands and he knows what he's doing. Okay, if you're surrendered, don't worry about delays. Don't worry about detours. Be patient. And if you're in difficult days right now, just understand that's just part of God's plan for you. And if your focus is doing good rather than evil, it's a good thing. Okay? And God's will is going to be done in your life, and he's going to use it. I'm telling you, he's going to use it to bless people. To get his word out, for your light is going to shine brighter because you're going through a difficult, you know, because you know why? A difficult situation should drive us to God. It should. Let it drive you to God. Let it make you seek him more. That's what it does for me. If everything was easy for me, I know what happens. I would drift. I would just, oh, okay. I'm good, I got it. But when it's hard, when I'm going through my hardest trials, that's when, man, I'm in the Word, I'm praying more, I'm up in the middle of the night seeking God or whatever, and he helps me. And then he turns it around and uses it, mostly in my life. That's what usually I find. Mostly he's wanting to work in me. through this difficult, but it does turn out for good for others. And you know how it happens a lot in the counseling office? I'll have gone through the worst week and someone will come in and share exactly what I just went through. And I'm like, okay, I have something for you. Because I just went through this and this is how God helped me. So God's going to use your difficult situation to help other people. You know, just think about it. Paul wrote most of the New Testament books. How many of us have been encouraged by his writings? Well, that all came out of him living in the center of God's will. And God's going to use our lives in that way. So just let it be an encouragement to you. And listen, if you're surrendered, if you want God's will in your life, he's going to make sure he gets you in the center of it. As long as you're developing your relationship with him, you're seeking him, you're surrendered, you're trusting him, you're learning to be led by him, you're obeying his word, his plan will go forth in your life. You don't have to worry about what that looks like 6 months, a year from now. Just day by day, it'll just unfold, and you'll be in the center of God's will. And your life will be a blessing to other people. So Lord, we thank you so much that you are intricately involved in our lives. And Lord, that you give us the privilege to participate in your will. I can't even fathom that. You're the God of the universe. Your plan is so beyond, I know, what I can imagine. What you're doing, your kingdom coming to the earth, God, your will being done in the earth, and I get to be a part of that somehow. You include us in that. You use us as your instruments. And Lord, I pray for us as men, as individuals, Lord, as we surrender to you. I pray for us as a body, Lord. I pray for your universal body, that you will bring us all into your perfect will, Lord, that you'll help us to walk with you daily, to seek you, Lord, to be led by you, God, so that your plan can unfold through us, your body, so we can reach the peoples, the different groups, the different places that you want your light, your gospel to go forth to, God. Let us be the feet. Let us be the hands and the mouth that goes out into the highways and byways for you. And I'm trusting you, God, to do that here in Grant County. I'm trusting you to do that right here in this area. There's so many right around us. And I thank you, God, you've somehow positioned us to be here. And everyone is part of it. So God, I pray in the days ahead as we surrender, as we look to you and trust you, you will unfold your will. And Lord, your gospel, your light will reach multitudes through this little group, Lord. We're no different than those 120 in that upper room, Lord. And look what they did. So God, we thank you, God. I pray these men would be encouraged, excited about serving you and living their life in your will. Show them, God, your will for their lives. Reveal yourself to them. Open up their understanding to know you in a greater way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.